psychology, just the present. Yeah. He'll take care of the rest.
I'm in charge.
Let's call over the gates, right?
Yeah. Where's the present?
Whoa, you're holding the AP?
Whatever, 4 days.
It's a... I think 2-3 weeks ago when it was about 55 degrees.
Yes, yes.
I think we were discussing if we could believe it. If we could believe that spring is really here. And then we find out that... and it's snowing. It's not just snowing. It's snowing. It's snowing. It's not sticking yet, but there should be at least 8 inches on the ground by tomorrow morning.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah, driving.
This Sukkot, I think it was. I think it was on Sukkot. Is it Sukkot? I don't remember if it was Sukkot or Pesach. I think maybe it was last Pesach. Last Pesach, I was walking with my Rosh Hashanah, and it was very bad weather. It was a bad weather day. It wasn't snowing. It was Pesach time. But it was a very, very bad weather. I was telling him that someone was telling me that he doesn't like when people say, like, I hate this weather. I hate this weather. This is such bad weather. I can't believe this is happening. It's snowing again. I cannot believe it's snowing again. He doesn't like when people say that. Basically what he's saying is like this. What? No, I told him. It's basically what it means is like this. There's many things in this world that it's possible to attribute to B'nai Adam. Like, if I work very hard and I make a lot of money, I have a nisayon that I might think that the reason why I made a lot of money is because I worked very hard. Even though it's not true, there's no relationship. People could work very hard and not make a lot of money, or people could not work very hard and make a lot of money. It's all totally in Rabbi Shalom Kseira. But there's a yetzahara, there's a makom to think that the reason why I made money is because I worked very hard. If I play ball and I win and I play very, very well, there's a yetzahara for me to believe that there's something about me that's great. I'm a great ball player, and that's why I'm doing well. Instead of realizing the reason why I'm a skilled ball player is because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave me that matana. And anything that I have, and many things in life, it's possible to find some excuse to blame it on something other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. Weather is not one of those things. There's nothing to blame weather on. I was reading a few days ago. I was reading something about the weather. There's something that meteorologists teach you a little bit about weather. There's something that meteorologists called the butterfly effect. Does anybody know what that is? There's one educated guy here. There's something called the butterfly effect. The butterfly effect means that you have in a jungle somewhere, a butterfly is flying, and it causes a little bit of like a wind. And that wind picks up speed, because that's what winds do sometimes, and it affects this animal or that animal, and it affects this body of water. And by the time, you know, before you turn around, within a few days, there's a tornado heading towards who knows where, because a butterfly flapped its wings. It's a little bit of a axom, it's not really shy from a butterfly flapping its wings, but that's the muscle that they use for how random weather is. That's why odd comma that they're able to predict the weather, they can't predict weather. I think I once heard that's Rashad. Eshu Voroth, fire and hail. The transliteration of the translation. What's it called? Translation of the year. Not transliteration. Shelag v'kiter, snow and vapor. Ruach se'ara, the wind of the storm. Oisa devaroi, fulfilling his will. Everything is fulfilling his will. What's the hadgash over here? Everything is fulfilling his will. So they say that it's on weather that you see more than anything else that it's oisa devaroi. It's completely, seemingly random. Mikra. It's seemingly random. The more random something is, the more we know that there's the Yad Hashem over there. Because there's no such a thing as random. Nobody could be kaveh, nobody could make the weather, nobody could, you know, you have a butterfly effect affects any any ability to make any type of long-range forecast. Like, more than a week or two is like already like stam shtus ba'alma that everyone tries to forecast. It's impossible to forecast. And the weather, you see, Isa Devore. So this person was telling me, and I said this over to Marashiva, that you have to be very, very careful the way you talk about the weather. You have to be careful. You say, this weather is terrible. This weather is mamish terrible. I hate this weather. I wish it wouldn't be this weather. Mamish terrible weather. What are you saying like this? This that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser, this weather is terrible. I really hate when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was geyser, this gezeirah. We don't talk that way. But that's really, in essence, what we're saying. Really, what we're not saying anything else. Who else are you blaming the weather? Someone gets angry at... Have you ever seen anyone get angry at the weather? Have you seen it? People get angry at the weather. They probably get angry... They walk in the rain and they get angry at the weather. Who are you angry at? Ruach Sa'ara, Issa Devarai. Something to keep in mind when it's March 18th and we're getting 8 inches of snow. Maybe.
Hey, butterfly.
I was hoping you were going
to
say that you should have said
one. No, I actually agreed with the very beginning. Okay. Page, first paragraph. Vihine. You got it?
It's over here. Let me just say numbers?
No. 51. 4.
Thank you.
Till now we spoke about some of the mitzvahs that we see that people are nichshol b'hem, that a lot of people are nichshol b'hem. It's common to trip up on these mitzvahs. That's what in the Kiyos, that's what the Mesil Sisharim was doing. That's why this is the longest parak of Mesil Sisharim. To try to pick many, many different things that you find that people are nichshol, and that's why we spoke about gezel, about oina, about all the different types of things that are common nichshalim. Umeyela nilmad lekol shar halavin, and from these we should learn to all other lavin. She'ein lecha iser, you will not find an iser she'ein le'anotim u'pratim. It doesn't have branches and specifics. Mehem chamurim, some of them are more chamur. Mehem kalim, and some of them are kal. But every single halacha, every single mitzvah has many, many, many different pratim, many, many different aspects. There's a lot to learn about every single mitzvah. But any given mitzvah, you can probably find whole svarim on that one mitzvah. Umisha writes to Leo is Naki, someone who wants to be Naki. Shnaki Nikias again, the Madrega of Nikias themselves is Sharm is nothing of zero Lifnimi Shur Zadin. We did not get up to the part of Mesil Sharm that discussed Lifnimi Shur Zadin. Naki means completely clean, completely right. Nothing wrong at all. There's not even a idea of anything wrong. Lifnimi Shur Zadin that he'll still get to, but we're still in the Shur Zadin. It'd be Naki. There shouldn't be anything wrong. Tzarech sheyeh naki mikulam, he has to be perfect in all of them, v'tahar mikulam, and pure from all of these averus. Ukvar omu zechronim levracha. The Mesil Sisharim is going to bring some midrashim now that discuss how careful we have to be about things that seem insignificant. Ukvar omu zechronim levracha, shinayich ke'eder harachelim. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep. That's what it describes Klal Yisrael. And it says, Ma rochel zu tznua, just like a sheep is a tznua, kacho Yisrael tznua mukshayim b'molchemes midyan. So the Yidnu are tznua mukshayim b'molchemes midyan. This is not the point that the Mesil Sisharim is getting at. He wants the second shita. Rav Huna b'shem Rav Acha Omar, Shalai hikdim echad meyam tefillin shal reish l'tefillin shal yad. Nobody was marked in the tefillin shal reish before the tefillin shal yad. There's a halacha that you're supposed to put on the tefillin shal yad before the tefillin shal reish. And the reason you're supposed to put the tefillin shal yad on before the tefillin shal reish is because of Malim Bakaydish, says the Shulchan Aruch, Malim Bakaydish Vayim Aridin. You start from the Shulchan Shal Yad and you work your way up to Shulchan Shal Rosh. Now, there are a lot of halachas chamurais, like Shabbos, Avodah Zarah, you know, eating matzah on Pesach, you know, chiyuva, you know, carbon Pesach. You know, there's a lot of very, very, very important things. One of the list, the top 10 important things in Yiddishkeit is not to put on the Shal Yad before the Shal Rosh. It's a halacha, and you're b'chayiv to do it. It's not the most important thing. It's not the most prominent halacha. The most important thing, you know, to put on the Tefillin Shal Yad before the Tefillin Shal Rosh. It's an almost insignificant thing relative to the other mitzvahs. She'ilu hikdim echad. If one person, try to imagine, you have an army full of warriors. All of the warriors are tzaddikim gemurim. You know how much chusim, and they're good warriors too. Tzaddikim and Yirei Shemayim and everything. And one person was mocked him. When he took out his tefillin, he pulled out his shorosh and he's like, you know what? I'll put on the shorosh. He put on the shorosh and then the shalyad. One person in the whole army. What? No, you take the shorosh first. She'ilu hikdim echad lehaya Moshe mishabchan. Moshe would not have praised them. And they would not have been victorious in the Milchama. An amazing thing. If one Yid would have messed up the order of the Tzolon Shal Yad and Tzolon Shal Rosh, they would not have been victorious in the Milchama. V'chein Amru B'Yerushalmi, a very, very famous Yerushalmi, HaMesaper Ben Yishtabach L'Yotzer, someone who speaks between Yishtabach and Yotzer. It's important to make I noticed recently, I think there's some people who just don't know the Halacha. It's usher to talk from Baruch Shomer until after Shemana Esrei. The emes is usher to talk from Baruch Shomer until after Tachanun. But L'chol HaPachos until after Shemana Esrei, Mamash, it's a hefsek. And once you say Baruch Shomer until Yishtabach, just like you don't talk after you wash, because of the hefsek, and you don't talk between washing and making the bracha, and so because of the hefsek, you don't want to talk between doing an action and making the bracha for that action, because it's mafsek the bracha. So too Baruch Shomer is a bracha on Pesukah Dezimra. It's a bracha Rishayna on Pesukah Dezimra. Yishtabach is a bracha Achrayna on Pesukah Dezimra. And you're not allowed to be mafsek. And from Yishtabach to Yoitz, that's what we're saying now, you're not allowed to be mafsek. And from Yoitzer, definitely from Yoitzer to Lefesh Shmoneh Esrei, you're also not allowed to, between the Birchas Krishma, you're not allowed to be Mavsik. There are special halachas in Shulchan Aruch, what to do if you hear Kedusha, if you hear Kaddish, because she Yetiru certain times to be Mavsik. But stam to talk, even if it's a very important thing, is Aser. Zokte Yerushalmi, HaMesaper Ben Yishtabach L'Yoitzer, someone who speaks between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, Avera Hi V'Yodai, it's an Avera, the Chayzer Oleo Me'orche HaMelchama. And he goes back because of it from the Orche HaMelchama. We know that the Orche HaMelchama was the setup. It was like when the troops were set up to go out to Melchama. When the Ma'arachis are the way things are set up. So when you have the soldiers ready for Melchama, the Kohen Mashuach Melchama would get up and he would announce who just got married, Yelech V'Yashar V'Beisla, and he should go back to his house. And who just planted a vineyard, Yelech V'Yashar V'Beisla, he should go to his house. And who just built a house, Yelech V'Yashar V'Beisla. And then it says that they also said, who has an aveir? Who's afraid? Ish hayorei v'rach alevo. Someone who's afraid and is soft-hearted, he also should go back to his house. Someone who speaks between Yishtabach and Yoitzer, it's an aveir and he should go back to Yerkei HaMelchama. This Yishtabach is someone in Makar for that late son, as I told you about a few weeks ago. There's a story in the times of, I forgot who. I know who was in it, but I don't know who they brought it to. But one of the Gedolim heard that the Maskilim in Europe made a certain play. And the play is, the Maskilim would put on a play, they would put on a play to make fun of something in Yiddishkeit. So the play was, on a stage, they had all the soldiers, the Jewish soldiers, going out to battle. And they said, Miho Eish, who just got married? And a lot of soldiers went off the field. And said, and who just built a house? And a lot of soldiers walked off the field. And who just planted a vineyard? And a lot of soldiers walked off the field. And who's afraid from any Averis? And everyone walked off the field, except for the Chafetz Chaim and one other, I forgot who. You know, one or two others. A few of the old, you know, these old Zakenim, like three old Zakenim left on the stage. And that was the funny play, making fun of him going to war. So they told us over to one of the Gedolim, and the Gadol said, they didn't say the end of the story. The play ended in the middle. They didn't say the end of the story was that the Yidden won the war. Now with Chaya, what the Pasuk says, it's all totally in Tzviyata Dishmaya. You see how careful the person has to be medaktik and the true nikios and meisim. This is what we just learned is a very, very sore point by many, many yidden. Very, very, very sore point. One of the things I think even originally in Christianity and later on by conservative and reform Judaism, one of the things that they made leitzanes, that they disliked about Frumkeit, that they thought was childish, is that we're so childish as to think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really cares about all the little things. Which that was the Sefil Sharm that we just learned, the maskana of what we learned today. What did we learn today? HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about the little things. That's what we learned today. Even the little things Hashem cares about. One of the main sources of leitzanes that came from outside the world of the Beis Medrash, after people in the Beis Medrash, the people who held on to the true Torah values, was that we are under this childish impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about Pratim. Hashem cares if you did this or that. You pulled out the Sharoish before the Shoyah, like big deal. I read a few summers ago, I was in someone's bungalow, and I saw Chicken Soup Stories for the Jewish Soul. Anybody familiar with that book? What? I have a problem with the chicken soup books, but I'm not going to talk about that today. But Chicken Soup for the Jewish Soul, it sounds like a very Jewish book. I discovered it's not such a Jewish book. I'd rather read Chicken Soup for the Pet Lovers, so... So one of the stories in there, I don't remember the details of the story. I think it had to do, if anyone remembers, I think it had to do with putting tefillin on a lady or putting tefillin on someone on Shabbos. Maybe on Shabbos. I think it had to do with putting tefillin on someone. If someone really wanted to put on tefillin before they died or something. So the author writes that even though it was Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, but still, you know, like the whole point of the story was exactly anti-this Mesillas Yesharim. Like, God cares about the big picture. There was a person dying here, and it was important for them to put on tefillin. So it's Shabbos, no. You think Hashem really cares? The point is that this person should feel good and happy, and it was a very heartwarming piece of Apikorsis to read. But what's the answer? What's the answer? Dama Lahashim, what's the answer? So there's a few answers. The most important answer is that we don't need an answer. That's the most important answer. The most important answer is that we have a Torah, Torah Shabbat, and Torah Shabbat, and it's very clear, if you go back to the sources, you know, it's very clear that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about, like we see from this Yerushalmi, we see from this Medrash, and we see from a complex Shulchan Aruch, and we see from many, many sources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about Pratim. And if we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos, we don't wear tefillin on Shabbos. Somebody once said, if I would have a God that I would understand fully, I wouldn't want him to be my God. The whole idea of a Rabbeinu Shel Olam is that he's massive more than we are. We don't need an answer. That's the first thing. We don't need an answer. The first krumkeit over here is that it's not reasonable to me that Hashem cares. Who said you have an opinion? Who said you have an opinion? So imagine we would walk, and we've used this mashal before. Imagine you'd be elected to go on the first, you know, it's going to be a big event, the first space shuttle flight. In a year or so, we'll send up a space shuttle flight, and you'll be elected to fly with the astronauts to go up to space. So you'll sit in the cockpit of the thing, and it's full of dials and switches and everything. And it's a massive computer, so, you know, it's like, you know, it beats anything that we've ever seen, the amount of systems that are going on in the space shuttle. And you'll have liftoff, and we'll be flying up, 8 miles a second, and you'll be looking around and there's a lot of blinking lights and things, and you'll be like, I can't believe it really makes a difference every little thing I turn. I want the green light, I want the red light. And you'll stop pushing around buttons. So if you survive, they'll never let you onto a space shuttle again. You don't have to understand why I'm telling you not to touch this. But I know better than you. I'm telling you not to touch this. We don't have to understand. We don't have to know the reasons. We don't. If someone tells you, does it make sense to you that God really cares if you turn on and off a light on Shabbos? Does it really make sense? Is it really fair that this guy who's dying should lose out, not be able to put on tefillin just because it's Shabbos? No, it doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense. Not fair. But that's why he's Hashem and I'm his servant. Because he understands and I don't. I don't have to have the answer. The first answer is that I don't need to know the answer. A number of years ago, I read in the first Chelek Alei Shur a piece, I have to find it again. It gave me a very good taste in my mouth about this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about every single prat. And have a chlal to look at all the different mitzvahs that we do. It's hard to swallow sometimes, and it's a complicated life. It's quite complicated. It's hundreds and thousands of different dinim and complex things, what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do. And it was a good schmooze that I read that day. Imagine, it says in Chazal that Avram Avinu may atzma ilama Torah. Avram Avinu learned Torah by himself. He figured out the Torah. Can you imagine? He figured out the Torah. Let me just think. Leisirtzach, I could imagine he figured out. I got it. Even Shabbos. If he knows, I don't know how he would know that Hashem created the world in 6 days. Maybe he could figure it out. But like Parah Aduma, for example. Like, how did he figure out Parah Aduma? Kalayim. Avram Avinu figured it out not to mix two kinds of cloth. He figured it out by himself. He's like trying to figure out what's right and wrong in this world, and he's like, yeah, two kinds of cloth, that's no good. How did he figure that out? How did he figure it out? V'chahena, all the... And he figured them out, even the Durabanas, like he figured them out with their Pratidinim. He figured out 39 Malachas of Shabbos. Throwing weed up into the wind, bad idea. How did he figure that out? How did he know that? It's a Pella. May Atzmei Lama, the wheel is read. Oh, that was very nice. May Atzmei Lama. How was May Atzmei Lama? How did he do that? It says that his two kidneys became like two teachers and taught him the Torah. It means that within himself, he figured out the Torah. How did he figure out the Torah? And the answer lies in something that we've mentioned before. The Torah is reflected, surprisingly enough, in the human body. It's the last thing I would think the Torah would be reflected in. The Torah is reflected in the human body. The amount of asays that exist is the amount of Evarim in the human body, 248 mitzvahs asay. And the amount of lois asays that exist is 365, the amount of gidim that are in the human body. That's a surprise to me. It's a surprise. You would think the Torah is connected, I would think Shemayim, the seven Rakiim, the constellations, the Malachim. No, it's connected, the Torah is connected, the human body. What's the lesson there? What do I see from that? What do I see from that the Torah is connected to the human body? And that's Mistama, safe to say that that's just a broad, you know, that's just going through it broadly. Mistama is an aver that's connected to the mitzvah saseh of eating matzah, let's say. The mitzvah saseh. Mistama, there are pratim in that aver that correspond to pratim in that mitzvah. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. There's nothing that's not exact. Mistama, well beyond our ability to ever understand, there's a perfect match between the Torah and the person. That's an amazing thing. Certain things that may be easier to figure out. You know, tefillin shel reish might be connected, the head. You know, certain things might be easier to figure out. But certain things are just a pella. And even in the things that are easy to figure out, it's to understand what really the connection is. It's not a very, very deep and complex thing. But the message is not deep or complex. The message is simple. The message is like this, that just like we need physical food, we need ruchnistika food. Our neshama can't exist without ruach niyistik of food. And just like our body, our 248 avarim and our 365 gidim need nourishment, we need to eat 3 times a day in order to nourish ourselves, so too the ruach niyis of our guf, our neshama that keeps our guf alive, needs mezainus, it needs nourishment. And the and HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed a vitamin, but that vitamin is the perfect vitamin for the human neshama, and that's the Torah. And therefore the Torah is exactly perfect. There's 248 positive parts, 365 negative parts, and all the prati beyond that we can imagine match exactly to the human being, because it's there to nourish us in ways that we can't possibly imagine. But Avraham Avinu, who was a chacham beyond our comprehension, was able to look inside himself and to connect with his neshama. He was able to feel the needs of his neshama. He was able to feel what his neshama was hungry for. And by feeling the needs of his neshama, sometimes a person feels hungry. I once read that there are times, I don't know if this is always true, that the things people have cravings for are because they have deficiencies in that type of food. Now, if someone has a deficiency in protein, it's possible, I don't know if that's always true, or sometimes just children, adults, I don't know the problem of it, but it's possible that he would crave a food that's a protein, because his body's lacking that. So that's what he craves. They say about children, people are very into giving children balanced meals, give them a protein and a carbohydrate and a fruit and this. They say that if you would give children, not garbage food, but if you would give children whatever they want to eat for a few days, whatever they want to eat, within what's not outright unhealthy. You give kids whatever they want to eat. Today you want macaroni, you get macaroni. Today you want chicken, you get chicken. Today you want a fruit, you get a fruit. You'll find that over a few days, by himself, the kid balanced his own diet. Over a few days. That's what I read when I became a parent. I read that. Right. Amazing thing. What?
He's right.
Anyway, let my kids eat whatever they want. Kids balance their own diet. In other words, physically, a person feels instinctively what he needs. Avraham Avinu was a very ruchniyistik mensch, and he felt he had instincts, ruchniyistik instincts. And he felt his head chaser until he put tefillin on it. His mouth ever felt like it would erode if he didn't eat matzah. His ruchnias felt lacking. And that's how he figured it out. That was me'atzmoy from himself, from his own needs, from his own feeling of what he needs, and what maybe what the world needs, that he was able to be mechaven to call it Torah Kula. The Rabbanot also cluster around the derises. Just like there's 248 Avarim, but there's millions and millions of different parts of each Avar. So the Rabbanon will be...
What?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what does this have to do with what we're talking about? When we read a Mesillas Yesharim, and the Mesillas Yesharim tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about every little thing, it doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a nitpicker. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so petty that he cares about every little thing. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned to nourish every single little part of us. It means that every single prat of every single halacha is necessary for me to nourish myself properly. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned with. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us that he's concerned with this. Someone who was misaber between Yishtabach liyaser, he has a deficiency. He will not be able to fight the war. He won't have the full strength. He's missing something, just like someone who doesn't ever have vitamin C is missing something. And if you are mashlim that, and you go ahead and you fill yourself up with the proper vitamins, then that will be the equivalent of doing tshuva and being mamali that chisaron. But someone who has gaps in his avodas Hashem, he's not as healthy. It's an incredible chizuk to try to be mechazik in all areas of our Yiddishkeit, and all areas of our avodas Hashem, and it's not stam a big load. It's not a big load, it's not a pettiness, it's not so many details. It's something much more than that. It's just like physically, I want to make sure that I take good care of myself, so that I should be healthy. My neshama, which is going to last for a lot longer than my guf is going to last, a lot longer. I have to take good care of it. Don't forget that the few years that we have in this world to nourish our neshama lasts it with netzach nitzachim. Forever and ever and ever and ever. We talked about how long Netzach is. Forever and ever, we can't have a tfisa. Forever. So we have to give a good nourishment now in Neshama. It's the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the Ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that we have to be careful to do this before this. We're heading into a Pesach Seder. You know, it's not, Pesach Seder is not, it's traditional to do this now. It's traditional to do that now. No, there's a part of our neshama, a very chashuv part of our neshama, that's nishlam by the Pesach Seder. And each thing in the proper order, just like this medicine comes before this medicine, and this vitamin comes before that vitamin, and this type of nourishment, and this type of development before that type of development, the Seder develops just like a child develops. Just like a person who's going through a treatment develops his treatment. The Seder is developed, nourishing himself. It's a nourishment. You see, Talmid Chachamim so makbid that things be done exactly the right way. It's not because they have some kind of problem that they care about every little detail. It's because it's a reality to them that every little detail has an impact on their neshama. So instead of being misyaches, now we could laugh. This is what the reform movement thought of to turn away from frumkeit. This is a reason to be frum. This type of care from the Rabbanei Shalom, this type of complex care from the Rabbanei Shalom. Think about it. They say, Hashem doesn't care about the details. Just be a good person. Because they're basically saying, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's not interested in being mazed in every single little prod. Hashem just overall will make sure you're okay. That's what, in essence, it translates into. And we say, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about every prod, every aver, every gid, every blood vessel, every molecule. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about every single part of my neshama. And therefore, He gave me mitzvahs that nourish every single part of my neshama. And that's the proper gisha, that's the proper attitude towards dealing with nikios and all the different aspects. It's not an overwhelming thing, Adarav, but something that can be moiled in us more, Abbas Hashem.